see everyone is here this morning. And as you can tell above me, today we are having our question and answer period. Those of you that have been here before, you know that I've been doing this for several years now. If you have a question, as it says up there, you can see the cards that are just in front of you. If you'll write them down, Everton is going to be my runner going around picking them up for me. Anybody have a card already with a question written out? Go ahead and raise your hand. If not, I'll await for those to come in. I want to start off with a little story, something that I heard about a young boy that was running down a busy street, downtown, down a busy street. He stopped in front of a stranger, and he asked him a question. Have you lost a $10 bill? And the guy responded, yes, I think I have. And he started fumbling around in his pockets. And he said, have you found one? And the boy said, oh, no, I just wanted to find out how many had lost one today, and yours is number 55. I thought that was hilarious, but it does illustrate a point. Obviously, it's doubtful that 55 people on a single stretch of street had lost a $10 bill, but when presented out of the blue an opportunity that you might gain by telling a lie, a lot of times people will resort to telling a lie. You know, it seems like almost universally, people hate lying. They hate it when someone lies to them, especially if they find out they've been lied to, they've perhaps been duped, they've been misled, someone has told them something that not been honest, been less than truthful, etc., etc. All those terms we use. And almost universally, people hate to be lied to. Once they find out they've been lied to, deceived, and there is a certain part of the etymology of the word deceived that has to do with even mocking or making a fool out of us. And that's the way we feel. Yet almost equally, universally, we lie. I once heard an elder, and I respected this greatly, an elder that addressed a church, and a statement that he made was of someone who got very angry about being lied to, I believe was the situation, but I know what he said was this. He said, the man said, and I quote, I've never lied. And then he paused. And he said, and you're probably all thinking the same thing I thought when he said that. That's a lie. Because everyone, almost, I would say, if not every single one of us, at some point in our lives, have lied. And so it becomes very difficult for a Christian. Once we become a Christian, we understand the laws of God. We know what God has to say about, and you can see some of these things above me, honesty, truth, deceit, lying, etc. It becomes difficult for us, really, many of us, to obey that, and especially to obey that as a way of life, a rule of life, in all circumstances, in all situations, I will obey what God says. And yet at the same time, we can understand both from a human standpoint, created in the image of God, how much we hate it, and I think we also understand how God feels about it. I've got one question that's been given to me, and I'm going to deal with it first. Are there any others that anybody wants to turn in? If you have a question, please write it out. And if not, I'm going to preach a lesson about lying, so I'll go where I want to go on it. But you feel free to turn it in. This question that's been asked me is one that may take a moment to answer. And that is it all right to break your promise to someone or break your vow to someone if that someone breaks a promise to you? I think immediately when I read this question, I'm not sure what the person had in mind, what promises or what vows someone had in mind, but I think immediately of wedding vows. Thank you, sir. I think in terms of standing before an audience of people, preacher saying, do you, Michael, take this woman, Montel, to be your lawfully wedded wife, and all of those things that go with that. Do you promise, do you take a vow to love and to cherish in sickness and in health? You know, all those things we say, I think of that. But I also think of business deals, handshake deals, and things we say where we give our honest intent to someone, I will do so and so. Maybe we even attach the terms promise. We don't today usually use the word vow except in circumstances of a wedding, occasionally elsewhere, but not much. And yet what we understand, especially in the wedding vows, is that we are giving our word and we're giving it before God. We also understand in a wedding that, you know, God is involved in that. When two people are married, God obviously binds the two together. So we understand that it is, quote-unquote, a solemn vow. But I want you to hear the question again. Is it all right to break your promise or vow to someone if that person has broken a promise to you? Obviously not. Vengeance would tell us, justice would tell us, do the same to them. The often quoted, sometimes, many times misquoted, eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. That in the Bible, and I think misquoted and misapplied many times. We might go back even older than Moses' writings and talk about ancient Babylon, and you may or may not have heard of Hammurabi's code and the so-called tit for tat, which is in that code, but that's justice. And vengeance oftentimes involves justice. If anything, what God was doing was regulating vengeance in the law of Moses, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, and the idea would be no more. But understand again the question. If a person has broken their promise to me, can I break it to them? Well, obviously not. And in fact, what Jesus would say if we were to go to the New Testament, if we looked at Matthew 5, for example, and where Jesus says, you've heard that it has been said, but I say unto you, do more than that. And I'll paraphrase Jesus. Go beyond that. Do more than that. Be what I would be. Think about it in terms like this. I break my promise, my vow to God when I sin. Do I want God to break His to me? You know? Do I want God to say, oh, well, you blew it, Michael. I said I would forgive your sins, but since you sinned, I'm not going to. Would we want that? That doesn't make any sense, does it? No. And neither does it make sense for me to look at someone and say, because you've lied to me, I'll lie to you. You've done this to me, I'll do that to you. I'll take vengeance on you and return to you in kind. That's not what Christianity is about. Christianity is about forgiving as God, for Jesus' sake, has forgiven us. It's about going beyond and doing more. We want people to be like Jesus in their treatment of us when we've done wrong, and we need to do the same with them. As I said, I figured that one would take a little bit of time, but let me go on. Why did the Lord punish Pharaoh? And this is an interesting question. Genesis 12, you can look up the story. Why did the Lord punish Pharaoh and reward Abram when he told his wife Sarai to lie to the Pharaoh, saying that she is his sister? That's a complicated story, and I don't want to get too deep into it, but remember the circumstances. Abraham is married to his half-sister, Sarah, at this time called Sarai. But I'll just call her Sarah. He is married to his half-sister, and this gets into what we sometimes talk about when we talk about lying, and what is a lie and what is not a lie. Technically, when Abraham says to Sarah, say to Pharaoh, you're my sister, technically that's correct. We do that sometimes. We say technically such and such is correct. I want to read a definition. I wrote it down just last night, but I copied this out of Webster's. Lying is this, to say something that is not true, but listen to the rest of it, in order to deceive someone. Whereas deceit, if I went further and I looked up the idea of deceive is to cause to accept as true or valid what is false or invalid. What happens in that story is this. Technically, is Sarah his sister? Yes. We do that sometimes. Well, I know when I say this technically is true. But I also know that I'm either inflecting my voice in such a way or I'm saying something in a certain context that the other person will believe something I know is not true. And that's exactly what happens here. Say you're my sister. Sarah could have said, well, I am your sister. Yeah, that's true. But say you're my sister, so Pharaoh will believe you are only my sister and not my wife. And then what happens is Pharaoh ends up trying to mess around with another guy's wife. And not only that, and the question is, why is God so upset? Because that interferes with the whole covenant idea. Remember, Abraham and Sarah are supposed to have Isaac, who is supposed to be the progenitor of Jesus, and that's God's plan. And because Abram has done what he's done, Pharaoh is now interfering with that. So it's not the idea that God is blessing Abraham for life. It is that God is intervening in the higher purpose here, and that is the whole plan to bring Jesus through him. That's the covenant God has made. And we might go back to that whole thing of, is it right for someone to break a vow because I've broken one? God had a covenant with Abraham. He's true to that. Even when Abraham is doing far less than he should be doing, and of course he does it again in chapter 20. Is it ever right to lie, for example, to protect an innocent person or to spare someone's feelings? Well, if we listen to all the ancient philosophers, whether it be Menander or Plato or whatever it is, if we listen to Joseph Fletcher and Situation Ethics, who'd be a far more modern philosopher, it is. It's right to lie. We watched Andy Griffith. A lot of us grew up watching Andy Griffith. Commonly, he lied to protect the feelings of someone else, and even taught little Opie to do that. And I suppose that most people feel like it's far better to lie than to hurt someone's feelings by telling them the truth. But I put myself in that position. Would I rather you lie to me or tell me the truth, regardless of how I'm going to feel when you do? I would rather you tell me the truth. I don't want to be lied to. I don't want to walk around believing or thinking that I can't trust anything anyone says. And I understand that we can't trust most people. But I certainly don't want that from people that I'm the closest to. So the question is it ever right to lie? And then it gives the circumstances, for example. I'll answer that by saying blatantly, it is never right to lie. God teaches us, and he teaches us in many passages, starting with, obviously, Exodus 20 and the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not bear false witness. Most often translated or interpreted by people to simply say, thou shalt not lie. In fact, we could go to the New Testament, James chapter 5, and it ought to be about verse 12. Let your yes be yes, and your no, no. No, it is not ever right to lie. You can say things, the truth, in such a way to spare people's feelings, in the sense of being as gentle as you can possibly be. But there are just certain truths that are going to hurt when we hear them. And sometimes we even need to hear them. How do you begin to restore a friendship or relationship after lies have been found out? Well, that's a hard one. And even repeated lies, realizing you are the person, you or the person has a real problem. Difficult. But I would say this. In fact, let me begin by saying this. I'm going to say something different here. How do I restore my relationship with God? In other words, start there. When I've sinned, when I've broken a law of God, when maybe even I've done that repeatedly, I don't know if you've ever prayed this, but I know I have. God help me, forgive me, and I'll never do this thing again. Have you ever said that? I have. Have you ever said that and then sinned again? You've lied to God. You've told God something that is not true. And yet, do you want to be able to go back to God and say to God, God, I'm sorry. I really, really genuinely am sorry. And maybe you even grow and it's a part of maturity to say to God, and I think to other people, I meant to keep my word. I really felt that. I wanted to never do this thing again. I wanted to never lie to you again. But I did. My prayers have changed over the years. I rarely say to God, I suppose I never say to God, I'll never do that again. More what I pray now is, God, help me to never do that again. So I think that's the beginning of restoring a relationship, but there are many other things that are involved. I've got to do my best to keep my word. I may have to go back to God, or I may have to go back to another person and say, I blew it again. I failed. It's not what I wanted to do, but I'm weak, and I think we all are. Part of restoring a relationship is realizing that you have to give the other person the benefit of being the same as we all are. People are weak. People make mistakes. People do wrong. Sometimes people do wrong knowing it's wrong when they do it. And I think that's all part of restoring a relationship. You ask me, is it easy? Of course it's not easy. Because just as much as, you know, I've been the person on the receiving end of a lie, I've been the person doing the lie. And I understand the breakdown in the relationship. It takes work. But making bold, big statements like, I never, like the guy, the elder said years ago in Alabama, I've never lied, so I won't accept someone else doing it. We know that's ridiculous. We know that we have probably done the exact same kind of thing. I go back to the theme a few years ago. Start with the man in the mirror. When you feel something towards someone like that, look in the mirror and ask yourself, how do you want to be treated? How would you want to be received? Okay, let me see if I can... We're refusing to state all the facts during an investigation. This is interesting. We're refusing to state all the facts during an investigation for the purpose of not, quote, opening up an unrelated can of worms. Count as deceit. Count as deceit. And there is something up here called pleading the sun, and I'm not sure. Let me think what that means while I'm answering this. Refusing to state all facts. I'm going to tell you a story I've never told you. You know that I've had a checkered past, to say the least. I got picked up for a crime years ago. A lot of years ago. And I lied my way out of it. Thought often about confessing that, so this seems like a great time to do that. I got away with that crime because I lied. And I went through an investigation, our two detectives grilling me over and over and over again because they knew that I had done what I said I didn't do. It's haunted me ever since. It doesn't matter how young I was, it doesn't matter how many years go by, I lied. Finally, the detectives said to me, which made it even worse, either you're not guilty or you're the best liar we've ever seen. At the time, I thought when I got free of that and I walked out of there free that I had really done something special. But it's not a good thing to go through life knowing someone thinks you're the best liar they've ever seen. Yes, sometimes refusing to state all the facts, twisting them, not telling the truth, not opening up, it can lead to a lie. Sarah, tell Pharaoh you're my sister. She is his sister. But that's not all the facts, is it? The bottom line is the intent to deceive. Why is lying so powerful to some people? You get a rush. And I know that I'm not the only one in here that understands that. You've duped someone else. You've made a fool out of someone else. You've told someone something that you made them believe that it's not the truth. All of those feelings enter into it. It is a powerful thing because it is getting advantage of another person. And so one feels empowered to do that. It's the consequences of the lie that are so terrible. But it's like many sins. We could ask the same question about a whole host of sins, and we could say, why is that so powerful to some people? Because of the initial feeling that you have, emotion that you have, some kind of range of emotions that you have. But it's the consequences that are so terrible. But why is it so powerful? I think it is because people just have this basic feeling, this basic desire, and we know where it comes from. Jesus tells us in John 8 it comes from Satan. But they have that to get an advantage of the other person. It's why little kids make up fanciful stories. It's why many lies have been told down through the centuries. Is it deceitful when the person can't handle the truth, or if the person may find it, the truth, hurtful, so you don't say it? And that goes back to a question we had earlier. Let me read you the full definition of deceive and deceit. To cause to accept as true or valid what is false or invalid. To make someone believe something that is not true. To practice deceit. To give a false impression. I thought it also interesting the list of synonyms that Webster had for deceit or deceit. I want you to listen to this list of synonyms. And let's ask the question, is it deceitful when the person can't handle the truth? But put yourself in the position of the person who cannot handle the truth. How can we handle this? And let me read this list of synonyms. To bamboozle, to beguile, to bluff, buffalo, burn someone, catch someone at something. To con them, to delude, dupe, fake out, fool, or make a fool, gap, gull someone, to have something on someone, to hoax, to hoodwink, to hornswoggle, to juggle, misguide, misinform, mislead, snooker, snow, spoof someone, string them along, to make a sucker out of someone. To suck in someone, to take in someone, to trick in someone. And that ain't even all the synonyms for it. When a person says to me, would you rather I lie to you if you can't handle the truth? Or would you rather me do all of those things? Do you please lie to me? I mean, tell me the truth. You know, tell me the truth. I don't want to be made a fool of. I don't want to be mocked. I don't want someone putting something over on me. And neither do most, if not all, people you think it's better to lie to. Are you telling the truth if someone puts you in a bad position and you don't tell them how they put you out or took you for granted? Let me reread that because I misread it, I think. Are you not telling the truth if someone puts you in a bad position and you don't tell them how they put you out or took you for granted? That's an interesting question. An interesting way to ask it. So let's say I've been on the receiving end. Someone has lied to me. And I act like, or someone has told me the truth. And I act like, I give the false impression of a reaction to it. I'll give you an example. I'm still a fat guy. Still working on trying to lose all the weight I need to lose. But you guys know I've lost way over 100 pounds, nearly 150. But when I was as big as I ever was, I had people tell me a lot of times, kids were brutal, in telling me how fat I was. It hurt every time. To be made fun of, to be told, even if someone was trying to be helpful, someone telling me, you're going to kill yourself in 10 years if you don't lose some weight. I mean, who wants to hear that? But a lot of times, I have to admit, I tried to suck it up and act like it was okay. was, you know, thank you, I appreciate you telling me when I didn't. And it finally got to the point where I realized, you know, you're not doing yourself or anyone else any good by doing that. No, I still go back. Have I been guilty of what this question? Oh, man, yes. But the older I get, the more mature I hope I get, the more I realize I don't want that from people. I don't want to say something to someone and have them react, oh, it's all wonderful, when they really don't feel that way. If I hurt your feelings, I would rather you tell me, you know, Michael, you hurt my feelings when you said that. Now, if I had to say it, that's one thing. But if not, and again, we can begin restoring the relationship. I believe God wants us to be honest, and I think deep down we want honesty from other people. What are some practical ways to avoid the undesirable consequences of this question? Quote, does this make me look fat? Wow, I should have read the two of them together. Does this make me look fat without lying deception? Montel and Juliet, living with two women is a wonderful thing. For years, Montel and Juliet would come to me and would say something like this. How does this look? New dress, or thinking about buying this one if we were in a store, or whatever. Sometimes that exact question, does this make me look fat? Does this, you know, and you can add other things. Does this make me look old? Does this make me look this, that, etc.? I finally got to the point, this is why I told them both. And they know this. If you come to me and you ask me if something looks good and I think it looks great, I'm going to tell you it looks great. If I think it does not, I'm going to tell you that. Sometimes people say women don't want that. They always want to be told they look good. Well, the truth is, if they don't look good in something, they don't look good in it. And I got to thinking about it. Do I want my beautiful daughter, my beautiful wife, to walk out of this house dressed in something that other people are going to react the same way that I'm reacting, which is, ugh, man, do I want that? I don't want that. So I tell them the truth. So at least they know, if they ask me, they are going to get an honest evaluation of how I think they look. So if you ask me that question, what are the practical ways to... just tell them straight out. That's the most practical thing I can say. Tell them straight out and tell them up front. From now on, every time you ask me a question, I'm going to tell you the truth. Because I love you. That's why I'm going to tell you the truth. If you lied to someone and you asked God to forgive you, are you forgiven if you did not tell the person you lied... you lied about the truth. Are you lying? That's a very complicated question, isn't it? I think a lot about this question. And I think about it related to this. I was thinking about this just the other day. I know people who believe that in order to be forgiven by God, and I want you to listen carefully, in order to be forgiven by God, you have to basically take what I consider to be the Zacchaeus route. If I've done anything wrong, I'll correct it and I'll even restore it fourfold. And while I think that in principle that is a great thing, in other words, if I said something to you and I hurt your feelings, we're talking about that this morning, and I know it hurt your feelings, I can go back and correct that, and I think that's important to do that. But let me tell you something. I have said many times, of all the things I've done, I don't even know how to go back and correct all the things I've done. I've lied to people, I've stolen from people, I've hurt people that I wouldn't begin to. And I could spend 100 years trying to hire the best of detectives and lawyers to track everybody down. And I still don't know that I could reach everybody that I've hurt. So I don't know how to always do that. But I will tell you this. If you have a relationship with someone, let's bring it to that. Whether it's a close relationship or a casual working relationship with someone, you can correct that. In other words, if you've lied to someone and you've asked God to forgive you, will He forgive you? Yeah, I believe God will forgive you. But I believe what He expects out of us is for us to do everything we can do to have the best possible relationship with other people we can have. You don't know the effects it might have on someone if you tell them the truth and if you correct something. You know, I can easily see a situation in which, let's say someone I work with, let's say that they ask me a hard question, put me on the spot, and I lied to them. And that person, let's just go so far as to say that person knows that I go to church and I claim to be a Christian and all of this kind of stuff. And now I've lied to them. What effect might it have to go to that person and say, you know, when you asked me that yesterday, you put me on the spot and I just reacted like people react, and I lied to you. And I'm sorry for that, and I ask your forgiveness. Now, let's say you're saying that to someone who is a worldly, wicked person. You're going to get one of several reactions, two basic ones. You're going to get a good or a bad reaction, but you may get the reaction where a person says, yeah, you call yourself a Christian, and they launch into all of that, and you didn't want that, okay. It's at least on them. You walk away from that having done what you could. But there are occasions when you get a reaction when someone says, whoa, you take this Christianity stuff seriously, don't you? I thought everybody that was a Christian was a hypocrite. And it's a great opportunity to say to someone, none of us are perfect. I'm a Christian. I'm far from being perfect. But I want to do what's right. Plant that seed and leave that with a person. It can and has before changed lives and the destiny of souls. I got a couple of minutes. Any other questions that need to be turned in, please turn them in now, or I'm going to do this last one, make a comment, and close. All right, last question. If a person used the truth, let me see if I can get this correct. If a person used the truth, to reveal something about you that is unnecessary and in order to hurt you, and when you ask why, they said at least I didn't lie. Okay, I get it. There were several things added to it, so if I read it, kind of disjointedly there. I think this is what the person is asking in the question. If somebody used the truth to reveal something about, let's say, me, it was unnecessary, but in order to hurt me, and I asked them, why would you say that? Why would you do that? They said, at least I didn't lie. That's an interesting question, isn't it? And I think what it prompts in me, my first response is to say this. You have to tell the truth. I think we always, most of us anyway, would say that. You have to tell the truth. I'll go so far as to say you always have to tell the truth. And yet, I would put a caveat to that. You always have to tell the truth when you say anything. But you have a choice not to say something. Let's go back to my illustration of, man, you're fat. Okay? Do you have to say that? No. But you don't have to tell me you think I look great either. You don't have to say anything. And a lot of times what happens is people feel like, even when put in a corner, I think back to many situations in life when someone came up to me and asked me a question. It could be something serious. Did you do so-and-so? It can be something frivolous, trivial. Like walking up to me when I've got a cup that you can't tell what's inside it and I'm drinking something. What's in that cup? Now, pushed in a corner, a lot of times we think, okay, I've got to lie. No, you don't. You don't have to lie. You don't have to say anything. In fact, you can even say to someone in as nice a way as possible, you know that's none of your business. And it really isn't. I mean, to walk up to someone, and we do this a lot of times. We have curiosity. We're nosy. We want to know things. So we walk up to someone and we ask someone things we have no business asking. Or we make comments to people we have no business saying. Remember the injunction in the Bible, let every man be swift to what? Run your mouth? No, swift to hear, slow to speak, and thus slow to wrath. A lot of wrath comes because we speak too quick. So here a person comes up to me, and here's what they conclude in their mind, if I get from the question. I conclude in my mind, I need to say this to this person. Maybe you need to rethink before you speak. Especially if you're going to say something that you know is going to hurt another person. Be very guarded about that. Be very careful about that. Remember that Jesus did not always say everything he could have said when he could have said it. So sometimes I need to not have the comment made in the first place or be the one making the comment in the first place. But then when someone gets upset about something, to come back and say, well, at least I didn't lie. No, but what you didn't do also is speak the truth in love, which is equally wrong. Let your speech be always with grace. Favor is the idea. Seasoned with salt. And I'm of the interpretation in that passage that means being very careful about the way you say things to people. No, it's wrong to lie. But it's also equally wrong sometimes to say something that doesn't need to be said. Okay, thank you very much. So, I don't usually say this of why I decided to teach or have a lesson, a question and answer. I go back to this that I said earlier. I have done a lot of things. And the older I get, time doesn't take care of everything. When you did things that are wrong and you know you did them, they haunt you. I believe that I've been forgiven by God for many, many things that I've done. But I still did them. And it still hurts. Been kind of struggling this year with everything. You know, the health situation, my dad passing. It just kind of puts a lot of things in life in perspective. And I start going back to some of those things. Things that for years, after I became a Christian, I just said simply, you know, all that's in the past. Well, it's not. There have been times when I started to come forward here, so this morning I'm coming forward. And I'm asking you to pray for me. Things that I need to get over and put behind me, pray that I do that. Things that I need to perhaps go back and correct, I need to do that. I don't intend to spend 100 years trying to trace everything down, but I've been trying along the way to correct certain things. Sometimes I get the reaction, oh, you didn't have to do that. You didn't have to come. But I need to for me. But just pray for me in that. Like I said, God is, if He's forgiven me, and I believe He has, He's had to forgive me for a lot. Maybe there are other people here who can relate to that. I don't know. If you're here this morning, and you're not a child of God, God is faithful. God forgives. God has made a covenant with us that began all the way back at the Garden of Eden. God has sent Jesus, as was said earlier. He sent Jesus to shed His blood for us. Will you confess that you know He's the Son of God? This morning, will you be willing to repent to change your life? And that's what repentance is all about. Put away lying. Change it. Speak truth with your neighbor, for we are members one of another. That's the idea of repentance. Changing from the wrong to doing what's right. And if you're baptized, all your sins, whether it was lying or it was anything else, will be washed away. That's the wonder of God. That's the beauty of His love. If you're here this morning and you need to come, please come. while we stand and sing.